So let's pray. So Lord, we're thankful that even though each one of us are facing a lot of different battles, Lord, we don't win in those battles just by our own strength or our own wisdom, but we gain victory when we learn how to submit and trust in you. We learn to turn to you for our strength. We understand that you fought the greatest battle and you've defeated sin, death, and the enemy. And now we get to lean into that victory because of what you've done for us. So God, I pray that over our time now, I pray that you would give us the ability to be able to just take a hard look on ourselves and our faith and to be able to see if you are in control or if we're still holding on. So we love you. Be with us now. Do what only you can do in our hearts and our minds. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're good to go. I love having myself behind me. I'm just kidding. So, you may have come in here this morning and you may have looked up in the ceiling and been like, what in the world is that Dollar Tree hamper doing hanging from the ceiling? And then your second thought probably was, when did they put that cord there? Gosh. And so, yes, it is a weird youth pastor thing. All right, I'm just going to put it out there and just say that's a weird game that we play on Wednesdays with the teens. All right, but we call it the impossible shot. All right, so every Wednesday, we put it around somewhere else, somewhere random in the room, and we try to make it be a really difficult shot for them to be able to make. And so while, yes, that is a weird, a stupid youth group game, it's actually more than that for me. Because of what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to encourage the kids. I'm trying to pray on the back end that the kids would be able to step up to be able to see something that looks seemingly impossible. That's why I call it the impossible shot. I'm not going to award them for just hitting the basket. You got to make it in, and it has to stay in. It can't get in and bounce out. It has to get in. It has to stay in. And if you make it, you win this huge prize, which is actually kind of weird and pointless too, but that's not here or there, all right? But the point of it, what I'm asking, what I'm praying on the back end of this little seemingly pointless game is I'm asking and I'm praying that God would help them to be able to muster up the courage in themselves to be able to not be afraid to take a shot, to not be afraid to miss sometimes, to not be afraid to just step up and just throw the dang ball, man, right? And David and Caitlin, don't worry if you're here. We are very careful of the light bulbs. All right, we are careful. Don't worry. That's why for that shot we shoot from over there. Okay, so don't worry. But I'm doing that because, man, in the culture that we live in the day and in society, what we have done not only with the kids, not only with the teens, but also with us adults, what we have bought into is this idea that, man, I can only shoot if I understand what's going on or if I feel like I can do this. And it's permeated not only to just silly games, but it's permeated in everything in life. And it's gone into this whole thing that as parents, unfortunately what we do in the school system, unfortunately what we do in society, what we've done is we've so protected the kids that their emotional well-being is the thing that we're trying to protect the most. And we're not letting them fail. And it's good to fail sometimes. And it's good to be able to understand that failure does not define you. So that's why I play that stupid game, the impossible shot. I'm trying to help them to be able to understand, man, it's okay to miss because that failure doesn't define you. But to go further from there, what we've done as a culture and society is, you know, it's improper for me to run the game the way that I do. Right, if we played this in school, Marissa, we'd have to give everybody a lollipop just for taking a shot, right? Right, everybody gets a prize because, man, you took the shot, man. Right, and what we've done, we've belittled this to, man, they took the shot, okay, you get a prize. You missed horribly and you broke four light bulbs, but you still get a prize, man. Right, that's what we've done, and we've embraced it, and we've gone into this thing within sports and stuff, and now everybody that signs up gets a trophy. Right? Everybody that plays on the team, man, you get a nice jacket, man. This is from my high school. I didn't even play on the team. I got a jacket. right? I helped take care of the athletes, but I wasn't an athlete. I'm just saying. Right? We've done this thing to where everything, man, you just show up, man, you get a trophy. Man, and so the danger and where I'm going with this is that it's this participation trophy stuff, it's really affecting us just on a humanitarian level, but it's affecting us in the faith level. And what we've done is we've unfortunately bought into this lie of this participation trophy faith. So man, you just pray this prayer, and man, you're good. It doesn't matter how you live. You live reckless. You do whatever the heck you want to do. You pray the prayer, man. You get a trophy and a nice jacket. And so what we're doing while we're in the Sermon on the Mount, man, that's not at all the way to the kingdom that Jesus describes. That's the bar that we've set as man. We've lowered the bar. Jesus scares us when he says, man, this is what it means to follow me. It's not just this simple prayer. It's this lifestyle that's changed by that prayer. Right? And this is the deception because, look, listen, for you to be able to enter into the kingdom of God, it can be a single moment time that you pray and you surrender your life to the Lord. It does happen just like that. However, if it's just a prayer that you threw up and your life doesn't change, there's nothing that goes on in your heart, read the rest of the Bible. The rest of the Bible says that, man, if your faith doesn't display itself by the way that you live, then that prayer ain't jack. Participation trophy faith. So I want us to think about it. I want us to be able to take an evaluation. Because, man, this is the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the highway to hell. Right here. Is your faith real? Or do we have this participation trophy faith? And so I want to talk about the dangers of the participation trophy faith real quick, and we'll get into Matthew chapter 7. So here's three reasons why this idea of this participation trophy faith is dangerous. Number one, it makes you be self-consumed. Everything is about you. The second reason, that we've embraced this no-cost Christianity. It doesn't cost you anything. And number three, we have a wrong understanding of hell. Participation trophy faith leads to a wrong understanding of hell. And so I'm going to go and explain all these things. Let me get into this. So the first thing, self-consumed. And everything is just about you. The mark of participation trophy faith, if you're living your life and you're just trying to see how Jesus fits into your life, you want this one? Or you want this one? This makes you feel better? If it's all about you and nothing about Jesus, man, I'm going to suggest that is not faith at all. It makes us come to the Bible and we come to church and whether it's good or not, whether our time in the Word is good or not, is based off of, man, it just didn't speak to me today. Man, the pastor was off today. He didn't really speak to me. Who is that about? Me. It's about you. I love what Pastor Derwin Gray, he says this, and it'll be on the screens behind me. He says this. He says, Jesus doesn't fit into our story. This is human-centered preaching. This is very popular and unbiblical. But rather, we fit into Jesus' story. This is Christ-centered preaching. This is unpopular and biblical. So choose biblical. That's my appeal to you. It's for you to be able to choose biblical faith. Man, I know, like, as much as I would love to be able to make some decisions, some real faith decisions for some of you guys, but I can't do it. That's not the way that the Bible outlays it. Man, I know what I can do for my soul, and I'm not here trying to judge you. I'm just trying to point you to the way. Because if you're sitting here today, don't hear any self-condemnation. That's of the devil. But I want you to be able to just be able to evaluate, man, do you have real faith or do you have participation trophy faith? I just want to ask you, man, is it wrapped up in yourself? Are you just trying to live your life and fit Jesus in when it's convenient to you? Are you just trying to put a little seasoning on your life with a little bit of Jesus? That's self-consumed. That's about you. That's not real faith. Participation trophy faith is not motivated by love for God, but it's actually just glorified self-help. There's plenty of books on that. Go ahead. Head to Barnes & Noble. Second reason participation trophy faith is dangerous is that it's caused us to embrace no-cost Christianity. Look, listen, when the Bible was written, it was written to people who were literally afraid for their life because they've said that they were a Christian. They were persecuted. They were being ostracized from their families. They were losing things because they associated themselves with Jesus. And so they looked at the loss and they counted it as worth it to follow Jesus because of who he is and what he's done. We don't know nothing about that. We live this cushy Nerf ball life here in America. If that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry, but I'm actually not sorry. We live a cushy life. We don't know what on earth persecution is. If you think we've been persecuted yet, we ain't seen nothing yet. We have no idea what to do with passages like Matthew 16, verse 24. We have no idea what to do when Jesus says, he told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whew. About Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Is there a cost there? There's a big cost. I have to come to the point where I recognize and I realize that I'm a horrible God. I don't know how to control anything. I have no ability inside or outside of myself to be able to do anything. And when I follow myself, I lead myself into sin. And so it costs me my rights. It costs me my life as I follow him. I take up his cross. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. The third reason participation trophy faith is dangerous is because we've embraced a wrong understanding of hell. And that was not intentional, but I need a drink of water. We've embraced a wrong understanding of hell. And so participation trophy faith, man, we're afraid of hell because it's hot, a place of torment. Satan and the devil is, you know, and the demons are going to be there. So I don't want to be there, right? And so that's a good desire. You shouldn't want to go after hell. That'd be a horrible place for you to live for eternity, right? But participation trophy faith, it comes to God and we pray a prayer because we just want out of hell. We don't care about God himself. We don't care about what he's done for us. We don't care about who he is, but we just come to God and say, hey man, I signed up for the team. Can I get a jacket? Hey man, I don't want to go there when I die. So man, give me a ticket so I can get into heaven. It's dangerous because that is a very good and right desire. We shouldn't want to go to hell. That's a bad place to exist. However, if our heart's priority isn't the Lord, if it's just self-motivated self-preservation, then we're leading ourselves to hell and we're just fooling ourselves. We're gonna live our lives with this jacket saying we're on Team Jesus when we're inside, we're just rotting away. And so I just want to put before you, man, participation faith is afraid of hell, but it's not in love with Jesus. And so as we're talking about the kingdom, Jesus is going to be wrapping up this Sermon on the Mount. And we've been studying this for like a year now, and we're almost done. We're almost done. But he's going to be describing the way to get into the kingdom. He's described what the kingdom is like. He's described that it's like this upside-down kingdom. It's like everything that seems right in ourselves and our own understanding, Jesus is like, nah, it's this way. My kingdom is like this. And so he's describing this great place where it's designed for human flourishing, where if we would live in the ways that Jesus is outlaying in the Sermon on the Mount, every single human would flourish. And so he's saying, man, but the way to get into this kingdom, he's going to be very specific. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to go over it and over it and over it. And then we're going to celebrate the fact that he resurrected from the grave on Easter. And so what we're going to see is that he's going to use very strong imagery to make it plain to us so that we don't get confused. He's going to talk about there are two paths. There's two gates. There are two trees. There's two home builders in order to show us that there are only two options. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. And so as we are going to read here in Matthew 7, verses 12 through 14, we're going to see that there are two gates that lead to two paths that lead to two different destinations. So in your copy of Scripture, or you can follow along on the screen, let's read verses 12 through 14. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to the destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. You see Jesus attacking participation faith, participation trophy faith. Man, he's knocking it. So look at verse 12. What Jesus is doing, he's doing this, he's instilling his upside-down kingdom again, just like he's done all the time. The thing that was in popular belief back then, what they were teaching in the religious systems, they were teaching people to be good boys and good little girls. They would tell them, do not do to other people what you do not want done to you. That's what the religious system was teaching. They were saying, hey, just don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you, all right? So I'll pick on Aaron because I picked on your brother last time. So if I'm going to live by this, then if I don't want Aaron to punch me, I just don't punch Aaron, right? So it's like this avoidance mentality. If I don't want to cheat Marissa, or if I don't want her to cheat me, then I shouldn't cheat Marissa, right? It can go on. It's just this limitation. It says just don't do things. Is that what Jesus said? He's flipping the script. He's actually upping the ante. And he says, no, it's not okay for people in my kingdom. It's not okay for you just not to do something. What's Jesus calling us to do? He says, man, you need to do to other people what you would want them to do to you. So it's not just this avoidance, just don't do things. He's saying, no, my kingdom is a way that we step in and we serve, we love, we do things even if we don't get anything back. Sheesh, that's hard. That's uncomfortable. I like this a little bit better. Right? That cost me something. Right, last week we watched Pastor Mike Todd, you know, in his little clip where he was talking about friends. You complain about not having a best friend. Well, what did Mike Todd tell us to do? If you want a best friend, what should we do? You should be a best friend, right? I mean, it's simple. I mean, it's ingrained in, you know, our human nature. What we should do is we should actually pursue the betterment of other people. But yet we distort this. And we make it so self-oriented. And so then Jesus goes in and he says, this is the way to the kingdom. And notice, how does he start in verse 13? He starts off with an invitation. He says, enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. It's an invitation by command. He's saying, man, the way to the kingdom is you have to enter through this gate right here, the narrow one. And then he goes on and he describes the two different ones. He says, but there's another gate that leads to this wider road, which is fun. It's alluring. It's easy. It's where everyone's on. But yet that one, it leads you to where? To death, destruction, right? But Jesus is saying, man, enter through the narrow gate and you will be headed towards what? Life. Man, we need a little bit of that in here today, huh? So he's paralleling two different things. He says, man, the easy road, the wide road, the one that looks like it's a little bit more inviting because it would be easy, it's wide, it's probably paved, everyone's on it, all my friends are there. Man, it's going this way. And it is deceitful, and it is leading us all the way to our death. But Jesus is saying, man, there's another way. Man, enter by the narrow gate. Go through this way. And it'll lead you to a smaller path. And that path is difficult. It's hard. What did he say? Did he say it's just going to be easy and you're good? You put on cruise control and you'll be good? No, he said it's going to be difficult, but where does it lead us? To life. It leads us to life. Right? I mean, we make this a little bit more difficult than we need to, and we get offended sometimes, but listen, this is why participation trophy faith is so dangerous, because we come to the Bible and we're like, nah, Jesus didn't really mean that. This is what he meant. I mean, let's all like receive from the Lord, like, hey, this is his word. We're living in his universe. We play by his rules. So what he says, that goes. I don't care if you say that there's 20 different ways to be able to make your way to God. My God, he said that there's one way to get to him, and that's through the narrow gate. It's hard. And we have to enter purposefully, right? He doesn't just say, stumble upon the narrow gate. He doesn't just say, hey, maybe find it. He says, no, you need to go through it. Enter by the narrow gate. And so we have this disadvantage of being alive now in 2022, because we don't have the training and we aren't immersed in the Old Testament the way that the people that were listening to Jesus say this. A lot of them had a lot of the Old Testament memorized. And so when Jesus was saying, hey, he was paralleling these two different paths, this was making them make connections in their minds about other places in Scripture. This isn't anything new. It's not like Jesus was stepping on the scene and being like, this is a new thing. Jesus is declaring what God has set from the very beginning of God's word, all the way back to Genesis. But some of the things that would have come to their minds as listeners, knowing the word of God, they would have thought of Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 through 20, where it says this, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I mean, let's just pause against that. That's just scary. That all of heaven and all the earth is now going to witness whatever I decide. Whew. Okay, that's some pressure. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and the length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. They would have been thinking of Jeremiah in chapter 21, where Jeremiah is preaching to the people, and he says, this is what the Lord says, take your choice, either life or death. Wide road, over here, wide road, narrow road. Life or death. Or a more popular one that some of you may even have some artwork in your house that says this. In Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. Jesus is picking up on this and he's echoing, man, there's only two options. We choose life or we choose death. And it's like, oh man, you know, that's kind of like closed-minded for God to be able to do that. Man, that's not fair. Listen, that's again, we're falling into this participation trophy faith when we think about, oh, that's not fair. Listen, fair is that God leads us on the path of destruction and lets us just march on to hell. That's fair. But the fact that God is saying, hey, look, this is the way to life. Just go. Choose that. Go there. And when you choose that, man, you will enjoy eternal life. Man, the rest of this life on this earth will be hard, but man, stay to it. Keep walking with me, and you will enjoy life. But reject it. Reject him. Reject his offer. And man, go the easy way. Do what you want to do. There's two paths, that's it. The second path leads to destruction. And you can call it whatever you want to do it. You can put whatever neat new ideologies or whatever you want to do on it. But man, the fact of the matter is that you either embrace Christ, surrender to him, or you exalt yourself, you pursue the new religion. You completely reject God, you're an atheist, whatever it is. There's no middle here. It's this path or this path. That's it. And why does it matter? Because it has an eternal significance. The stakes are high. I mean, this is literally the difference between life and death. There's no redos. There's no shortcuts that you can take. And there's no other options. However, there is an invitation for all of us to be able to enter by the narrow gate, to enter into life. So how do we enter? The way that we enter the gate is that we need to come to the end of ourselves. We need to throw away our agenda. We need to throw away our purposes. We need to stop living for ourselves. We need to stop being fixated on money, trusting in money to be our God. We need to stop obeying our comfort. Man, how much does comfort just lull us into just the pathway to destruction? Security, sex, pleasure. We need to get to the end of all these things, and we need to begin to embrace Jesus for who he truly is. And I'm just going to let you know that this isn't going to get you in. This isn't going to get you in. Jesus says, man, you have to enter by it. And guess what? It's going to be really hard. It's going to be hard. Because you're going to constantly be wanting to go back to the wide road. And so that's why there's a difference between participation trophy faith and real faith. Because real faith, it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you make every step exactly that you need to. But it's that, hey, because Christ is my Lord, I'm going to give him my all. And my all is going to be messy some days. I'm going to slip. And just like some new trails, if you go up, you go hiking, new trails that are skinny and they're not very developed, man, you're going to slip on things that you didn't see were there. You're going to mess up. You're going to stumble. But the mark of real faith is that you keep going. You keep going. So for all of us, man, how do we enter into the narrow gate? Man, it's as simple as Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Just lost my place. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says this. This is what he's saying to each of us. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The call isn't for you to be able to live this perfect life on your own. The call is to embrace Christ as King. And so I'm just going to ask you, all of us, we got to do some soul searching. We all got to do some evaluation in our own hearts and minds. But I'm just going to ask you, man, if you've not considered Christ, I'm just going to ask you, how is your life going for you? If you've not surrendered to Christ, I'm going to ask, how are you doing at controlling what's going on in the world? How are you doing with this problem of sin? I mean, by rejecting God, you're saying, no, I don't want you, God. I can do it better on my own. I just want to ask you, how are you doing with handling the fact that you're a pretty crummy person without Christ? I'm a pretty crummy person without Christ. I'll throw myself in there too. So I'm just saying, the call to Christ is, man, get over yourself. Humble yourself. Let's come to Christ. Let's learn what it looks like to be able to walk this narrow path, that we're taking on the burden of Christ, that he says, man, I'm not adding something heavy to you. I'm going to walk with you. Christ is gentle. He's lowly. He walks with us. His burden is light. So the call for each of us, man, if you have been, you've been on the narrow path already, you've entered the gate, and you've been walking this path, I want to encourage you to keep going. The way is hard, and it beats us up sometimes. Don't give up. Christ is king. Regardless of what this world says, Christ is king. Keep following him. Don't throw in the towel. Keep going. Keep climbing. And understand you have other people around you who are doing the same. On the other hand, if you're not a follower of Christ, or if you've been just holding on to some prayer that you prayed like a five-year-old when you were little, but your life is looking a hot mess and there's no proof to the pudding, I'm just going to ask you, man, get real with yourself. Could you put your faith for real in Christ today? Let this be the difference. Leave the wide road of destruction and follow the path of life. So I'm going to ask you, man, let's do some praying. As I'm praying, I'm going to ask you to just handle your business before the Lord. And if you'd like somebody to pray with you, pray for you, man, that's why we're here. Come forward. I'll pray with you. Grab somebody sitting next to you, even if they look scared, they can do it. But we're in this together. And I just genuinely don't want any of us to get to the end of our lives and hold up this trophy before God and say, hey man, do I get in? You can have assurance today if we enter into the narrow gate with real faith. Let's get rid of this participation faith. And let's follow him in truth. So, Father God, I thank you. God, you are way beyond comprehension, and I don't even understand why you would offer a way for us to be saved. But I praise you for the fact that you left heaven. And Jesus, you took on flesh, and you came to the creation that you made, and you allowed us to beat you and to murder you. All the while you knew that it was going to lead to you dying the death that we deserve, so that if we would come to you, if we would enter by the narrow gate, if we would trust in you as Savior, we could have the life that you deserve. So Lord, please help us. I pray that you would encourage us who are on that narrow path that just feel like we're getting beat up. I pray that you would encourage us. And I pray that you would be with the rest of us under the sound of my voice that don't have a relationship with you. I pray that you would place a holy burden upon them, that they would need to get that happen even today. So, Lord, we love you. We submit to you as King. In your name we pray. Amen.